This morning, we're going to be in Judges chapter 7, if you want to go ahead and turn there. So many times, I think this is part of Gideon's story, but it's more the story, I think, this morning that God has for us. He's going to show it to us through the life of Gideon and through his hand through Gideon's life. But this morning, I want us to look and think a few things up front. One is, probably everybody in here feels a little bit like Gideon at times. He was that young man that he felt like he was nothing. He was afraid. He was actually threshing wheat down in a wine press so that the enemy wouldn't see him. He did not want to be a public figure. And God sends a message to him and says, "Hey, you are a mighty warrior." And if I said, "Okay, how many of you in here are a mighty warrior for God?" There probably wouldn't be very many hands go up. Okay? And so we are like Gideon, I think, in that sense that we just don't feel like we are very mighty. I want to be a warrior for God, but I don't feel very mighty. We want to do what God's called us to do, but I don't feel very mighty. But the thing we have to understand is we are not the mighty ones. The might is in the Lord. We are just the vessel. We're the little guy that's hiding in the wine press. And God says, "I want to use you." This morning, He's saying that to you. He wants, from Gideon, He wants to hand the Midianites into the hands of Israel. And so let's go ahead and I'm going to read. It's going to be 20, maybe 22 verses, so bear with me. But I think it's something that we need to hear the story. So starting in verse 1, it says, "Then Jerubbaal," that is Gideon, "and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim the glory itself against me, saying, "My own hand has saved me." Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, "Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead." And 22,000 of the people returned, and then 10,000 remained. Now, I'm going to stop right here for just a minute, because you've got this army of obviously 32,000 men, and you're going out to fight the Midianites, and all of a sudden say, "Hey, if you're afraid, you don't have to be here." And 22,000 soldiers leave. Okay, right there as the commander, if I didn't feel like a mighty warrior before, I'm thinking I'm not a very good leader either. But you know, there are some things in the Mosaic law that certain people didn't have to go to war. Some of those people, this was four of the things. Let me get right read this. If you had just built a house, you did not have to go to war. If you had just planted a vineyard, you did not have to go to war. If you just got engaged, you did not have to go to war. Now realize, see how those get a little harder all the time right through there? And then the last one is, if you were afraid, you did not have to go to war. But that's what it says, is if in the law, if you were afraid, you didn't have to go to war. Well, obviously 22,000 people turned and said, "Hey, I'm afraid, I'm going home." But 10,000 remained. And so let's carry on in verse 4. It says, "But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go.' So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place." So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down, go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midians and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number as the sand of the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it, that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into the hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of the Midian into your hands." Then he divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet in every man's hand, an empty pitcher, and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me, and do likewise. Watch. When I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp, and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, probably about 10 o'clock at night, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets, and they broke the pitchers that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets. They broke the pitchers and held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, the way you've given it to us, the way you've kept it for us, the way you teach us and use it to make us more of what you desire us to be. Lord, use it this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in this place, that we would encounter you, that you would convict us, you would draw us, and you would encourage us. We lift this time to you. May you receive glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we read this story, you've got this little man that doesn't feel like he's a mighty warrior, and then God begins to narrow down and telling people to leave this way and choosing certain ones that way. And then one thing I want you to realize here is that Gideon, it doesn't ever say anything about him having a sword. It doesn't say anything about all the soldiers, the 300 men, that they had a sword. It never mentions them having swords. They never had to draw a sword because of God's power. And so as we look at this morning, I want us to look and see what God did through Gideon. And when you will realize that you are that warrior, you are that mighty warrior that's supposed to be in your school, that's supposed to be at your work, that's supposed to be wherever you go, you are that mighty warrior. You need to get out of the wine press. That's you. I'm just reading the book. But you take what he says this morning. And I first want us to do is I want us to look at what does God do for Gideon right off the bat. He takes away all the people that were afraid. so many times you and I are surrounded by people that have no faith. We work around them. We live around them. We have activities and hobbies around them. And we're around a lot of people that have no faith. And that's part of it. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. But according to this, these people were so afraid, they didn't want to be in battle. Surround yourself by people who want to battle for the Lord. That's what's going to make the difference. That's the first thing he did. He said, you need to have people around you that are not afraid to battle for the Lord. That's us. That's what our church is for. That's what your Bible studies are for. That's what your groups are for when you meet together to strengthen it and to battle. Because those people that really don't want to be there, he sent them home. Why did he send them home? One, because he wanted to make sure that everybody knew that it was God that received the glory. God wants to receive the glory from you. Whatever he's called you to do, wherever he's called you to live, whatever he's blessed you with, he wants you to use that to glorify him, to bring honor to him. That's the whole purpose of this. He could have very easily kept that 22,000 men and used them in this battle. But he wanted to specifically let everyone know that the battle belongs to the Lord. The glory belongs to the Lord. What are you and I doing to give glory and honor to God? Sometimes we surround ourselves by people that don't want to do anything so that when we don't do anything, we don't feel bad. But you surround yourself with people that want to battle for God, then it's a whole lot easier for you to battle for God. That's what he does. And so he wants us, first of all, to surround ourselves with people of faith. People that want God to be glorified. The next thing he does, he takes and he's still got, I think it said 10,000 men stayed, and he's going to narrow that down a lot. There's two ways to look at what God did through Gideon here. They went down to the water, and if they knelt down and stuck their head down in the water, he didn't want them. He wanted the ones that pulled the water up so that their head was always up and looking. That meant they were ready. And so that's one way to look at it. Other scholars believe it's like this. A dog was an animal that was so disgusting. It was just one of the worst animals in their sight. And so he says, I want you to take those people that lap like a dog, those people that are outcasts, and I want you to see that I can even use those people. Now, whichever way it was a way of God saying, I want you to know that I'm going to give you every man you need. You've got 10,000 now. I don't think you need that many. God's going to give you 300 men. And he picks them out for Gideon. And Gideon's like, okay, this is what God gave me. This is all I need. You need to understand, I need to understand that God is going to give me everything that I need. Too many times we don't want to do something because we feel like we're going to fall short. If it's up to us, we will fall short. But it's not up to us. God knows what you need. He knew exactly which man needed to be at that battle. He knew exactly what person didn't need to be at that battle. He knows exactly what you need to make a difference at your job. He's going to give you that. And anything that you don't need, he may take away. You've got to understand, it's not up to you. All you've got to do is seek to bring glory and honor to him. Get out of the wine press and say, I'm going to battle with God. I've got the people around me that he wants. I don't have anything that he doesn't want. He's going to give me everything I need. That's where we're at. So not only does he want us to surround ourselves with people of faith, he's going to supply everything that we need, every person that we need around us. But this next one, you know, he got rid of 22,000 people that were afraid. Did you ever notice there's 22,001 that were afraid? Because Gideon, when God says, hey, I'm going to send you down there, and he said, but if you're so afraid, go down with your servant. So God knew that Gideon still had an amount of fear in him. He sent home everybody else that was afraid. But he says, if you're still afraid, then go down with your servant. And what happens in the next verse, he grabs his servant and he goes down. So he was willing to admit that there was just a little bit of fear there. And so how do you get rid of that fear? Because God's called you to be that mighty warrior. And if you're like me, you don't feel like you can. There's still a little bit of fear of what if I mess up? What if it doesn't work out the way it should? What if what God designs, I mess it up? Let me tell you this, you're not that powerful. You're not powerful enough to mess up what God has ordained and what God plans to happen. Don't give yourself too much credit. But he says that he wants him to go. And so what he does, he sends him down there with his servant and he listens. And Gideon hears two people on the enemy saying, man, I had this dream and this is what it was. And the other guy says, this is your interpretation of your dream. Gideon is the man of God and he's coming. And God's delivered this camp into his hands. Now, if you're Gideon and you're going into that battle and you sneak up on the enemy and you hear the enemy saying, oh, we're in trouble because God's already delivered us into his hand. Man, you walk a little taller. You'd be, God's went before me. God has already told the enemy, hey, you're going to lose because I'm sending a mighty warrior your way. And I'm going to deliver this camp into his hands. So that took care of the fear that Gideon had. And he went back and told the camp, arise, God's delivered him into our hands. So what took place in that short passage is what needs to take place every morning when I'm on my knees or when I'm at my desk or wherever you're at when you pray. Know that God goes before you. Man, the enemy already knows your name. They already knew Gideon's name. God had already told him, hey, I'm going before you, Gideon. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to tell him in a dream that I'm handing this camp over to you. Know that God goes before you. Man, when you're afraid and you don't feel like that mighty warrior, you don't feel even like a usable warrior, understand that your God goes before you. He promises that. We know that the enemy knows God's power. And God's power goes before you. And so when God calls you to go and make a difference, to get out of that wine press, He's going to be already ahead of you. He goes before you, He goes with you, and He comes up behind you. What we have to understand is that we don't have to have fear. Fear is that human thing. Fear is that thing that holds us back because we can't see God. Faith is that thing that drives out fear because I can see my God through my faith. That's where we've got to be. So for us, if we look at Gideon, we need to be like with people around us that are faithful. He will supply what we need. We need to remember that He goes before us. But then this is the key, I think, to this passage, is to use what He's given you. Too many times we don't want to use what God's given us. It may be our voice. It may be just us taking a stand. It may be prayer. It could be any number of things that God has blessed you with. It could be very simple things, like a trumpet. Man, he give all 300 people a trumpet, an empty pitcher, and a torch. And you're going into battle with a trumpet, an empty pitcher, and a torch. Now, I'm not much of a military man, but I'm thinking that's probably not going to work. In our minds, that's the way we see things. We see it that way when we go into battle for God and we think, God, here I am. I'm just this truck driver. And you're wanting me to battle the evil of Satan. And I don't have any magical weapon. I don't have anything great. I don't have this super intellect and this biblical knowledge that is going to be able to just knock him off his feet. You got the Word of God, and that's all you need. What we have to do is use what he's given us. The trumpet, they were to circle around the camp. It's dark. It's 10 o'clock at night. Everybody's asleep, scattered all over this valley, and they spread these 300 guys around the camp. Now, I'm thinking if it's a normal-sized valley and there's just 300 of us, then the guy that's right beside me is not very close. But either way, it's scattered around this valley, and I have a trumpet. And at 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to blow that trumpet. And everybody that wakes up is going to know we're here. I want to stop for just a second and say, how many people in your workforce, how many people on your team have heard your trumpet blow and know you're there? Because we are called to make our presence known. That's what Gideon had to do. That's what these 300 men had to do. They had to get within sight of the camp, and they had to make their presence known. Man, they blow the trumpet. They let everybody know, we're here. You may not expect us, but we're here. Is that your faith? Is that a picture of your faith? That you go out in the darkness and you're willing to face up to the enemy? And you're willing to say, hey, I am a child of God and I want you to know I'm here and I'm not backing down. Too many times we want to just be that child of God that stands over, well, if you need me, come and ask and I'll tell you about Jesus. No, you're supposed to go out and proclaim that you are a child of God and you're out there in that darkness. Next thing they had to do, they had this pitcher. No water in it, had a torch in it. And they were supposed to, when the trumpets blew, smash that pitcher. Man, you can imagine what the noise sounded like. 300 pitchers just crash. A couple things about that pitcher. One, it was concealing the light. That torch was already lit. Side note right there. Before you go into battle, you better have your torch lit. You better have the light inside the pitcher before you go. Because if you go and you're going to smash the pitcher and then take time to light it, it's not going to work. So what you do is you smash that pitcher to expose the light. We're supposed to smash that pitcher, that vessel that is holding the light. That's me. That's you. We are that vessel that's holding the light of Christ. We are out there in the darkness, and we are supposed to let ourselves be broken so that the love and the light of Christ can show forth from us. But understand this, once you break it, there's no putting it back together. Once you start sharing the light of Christ, you realize it exposes the cracks in the pitcher, and then the pitcher is broken, and it can't be put back together, but it doesn't matter because the light of Christ has exposed. That's where you and I are supposed to be. Man, we've got the light of Christ in us. We come in here every Sunday, we sing praises, and we worship God, and we encourage each other. And then when we walk out of here, we put it back in that torch, in that pitcher. We put that light, we put that torch that's supposed to shine in the darkness, we put it back in that pitcher because it might offend somebody out there. Shatter the pitcher. It's not about the container. It's not about the container that holds that light. It's about the light. It's not about you and me. It's about the light of Jesus. We are to smash what there is of us and make sure that the light of Christ is what shows in the darkness. We've got to do that. Next thing is they took and they blew the trumpets. They smashed the pitcher and then they held that light up high. So that when those men woke up, they look around and there is light everywhere. Every direction they look, there is a torch. In the darkness at 10 o'clock, all of a sudden there's lights everywhere. You and I are supposed to dispel the darkness. You and I are supposed to make a difference in the darkness. Sometimes I feel like I don't make enough difference in the darkness. But you know, if I have a torch, whoever I'm around, I'm going to make a difference. And it's not me that makes the difference. I'm just holding the torch. It's the light on the torch that makes the difference. It's Christ in us. We are just holding the Holy Spirit in us. That Holy Spirit is what's going to make the difference. It's not me. It's not you. But we hold it out there for people to see. It's like we're not going to hold it. I'm going to stand by a tree and hold it back here. No, we hold it out so the enemy sees it. We hold it out to dispel the darkness. Because I guarantee you there are people out there in the darkness who will come to the light. But they just don't know where it's at. We are to shatter ourselves. Hold up that light that's within us. And then he says, shout. Shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. It's all about the power of God. I don't raise my sword. I don't raise my Bible and say, First Southern Baptist Church. That's not it. We raise up Jesus Christ and say it's all about Him. And they say, well, you know, Pastor, it says the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Gideon is just, he's just the instrument that God was going to use. He's just this little guy hiding in a wine press. And God's going to use him. God wants to use you too. Are you willing to let Him? Are you willing to sound your trumpet and say, yes, I'm a Christian and I'm going to stand in the middle of this darkness and I'm going to proclaim it to everybody around me. I don't care if I'm standing by myself and there's nobody even close. I'm going to blow my trumpet because that's what we're called to do. If we're going to glorify God, if we're going to be a mighty warrior for God, then that's the first step you have to do. You have to crush yourself. It's got to be no longer about you. It can only be about Him. Not, okay, I'll shine my torch on Sunday, but Tuesday afternoon, that's my hobby that I go do, and that's more about me, so I put that back in the picture. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to smash that picture to where it's all about Him. We dispel the darkness by shining the light of Jesus Christ. We shout out that He is the one to receive the glory. The sword of the Lord is what did this. The power of God is what did this. What made a difference in my life was God. It wasn't Steve. What made a difference in your life? I hate to tell you this, but it wasn't you. It's God. So why don't we tell somebody? Why don't we tell somebody that it's the power of God that wins every battle? Every battle that I'm in, you know, if I win it or, if God wins that battle or if I lose it, God's power is still what got me through it. And I should be giving Him the glory for that every step of the way. The sword of the Lord is what's there. God is calling you out of the wine press this week. Are you willing to come out? Now, Gideon was busy doing something that was very important. He's threshing wheat. That needed to be done. That was part of his job. And God says, no, I'm going to use you somewhere else. I'm going to bring glory to myself by using you, and I'm going to put you around people that are of faith, and I'm going to put you around just the people that I want there, and I'm going to give you exactly what you need. I'm going to take away what you don't need, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to get rid of your fear and use everything I've given you. That's this week. That's your opportunity. That's what God is setting before you, because wherever you go, there's darkness. In this world we live in, there's darkness. And the only way that darkness is going to be gone is by the light of Jesus being put forth, dispelling the darkness. And He's going to do that through us. And if we're not willing to allow Him to do that through us, we're going to miss out on the blessings. So as I close this morning, I want you to remember a few things, and I've touched on some of these already. The enemy already knows who you are. So get out there and fight. The torch was already lit. Light your torch now. Well, what do you mean by light your torch? Whatever is in you, whatever is on fire in you, do you consider yourself on fire for God? Now, that's a strange question, but I'm going to ask you that. I want you to answer yourself. Do you consider yourself on fire for God? Because that's what He calls for us to do. We are to be on fire for God. We want people to know how we live. We want people to know what we believe. We want people to know the God that we serve. And we want people to know that God that loves us loves them as well. And if I quench that, then I've quenched that fire that is within me. God desires us to be that torch, that fire within us. Light it today and crush that pitcher. Because your voice will make a difference in the darkness. How can my voice make a difference in the darkness if I never say anything? Man, if they just come out and maybe they blew the trumpet and they may have cracked the pitcher and they may have held up the torch and then they stood there quietly saying nothing. But when they screamed out, the sword of the Lord and for Gideon, that man that was down there that was interpreting the dream said when it was going to be about God giving us to Gideon, that's pretty obvious that that's what's happening right now, because this is Gideon. So what we dreamed about, what we were told by God that was going to happen, it's happening. Until you and I are willing to speak up, they're not going to hear us. You know, there are people out there that look pretty good in the light. They're nice people. They have no idea who Jesus is, because it's not the light of Christ. Gideon didn't need a sword. This is where we're going to vary just a little bit from Gideon. Because you and I, we have the sword. But what good does it do if we don't use it? What good does it do if we don't use it? This morning, like I said, my prayer is that God will convict you if you're not doing these things. My prayer is that God will draw you into a relationship with Him to where you desire to have the fire of God inside you. And my prayer is that God will encourage you to do the things that He's set before you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then what I've said this morning probably doesn't make any sense. But the same way, it's about faith. It's about God supplying, and He supplied on the cross. It's about Him going before us. It's about Him giving us everything we need in a Savior. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the darkness is out there. And I want you to hear my voice. And more importantly than that, I want you to see the light of Christ that is in the Christians around you. And know that that is there for you as well. All you have to do is surrender to Him. Turn your life over to Him. Smash that pot that's called you and say, God, what I have is all yours. I want you to fill it. And those of us that are Christians, get out of the wine press. Get up there and claim the fact that your God wants to make you a mighty warrior. It's not by power, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, as we come to this time in the service, I pray you would move in such a mighty way. Lord, I pray for protection as they walk out of this place, that Satan doesn't steal your word as they walk out of here to go somewhere else. As I walk out of here to go somewhere else, may you protect the word that you've given us this morning. May we glorify and honor you as you desire. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.